bow down. Bow down. It's been translated worship. But in the original it says bow down or prostrate. That's another form. And then the second, that's the first most used word, to bow before. The second one, you're going to probably all be surprised, I was, means to work. To work is to worship. If it's unto him. If you clean those toilets because you love the Lord and you believe he's asked you to and you want to honor and adore him, that's worship. So whatever you do, if we do it for him, because of him, for love's sake, that he be glorified, that's worship. The third one is teaching and studying. So I get to worship big time. And you get to worship by studying, and don't just accept what I say as truth. Be diligent and study for yourselves. Make sure you do that and take it to the Lord. I am not infallible by any means. I do my best, and I take it very seriously when the Bible says that teachers are going to have, if he's got a magnifying glass, that might be the time he has it is with a teacher, because he's told us, you know, don't be quick to be a teacher, because they're gonna be held super accountable, so to speak. So, and I take that very serious. And so I'm very careful what I teach, and I'll be very clear if I'm saying this is my opinion or I think or maybe. But then there are some things that are just rock solid. If you study, you'll see it. Like the one saved, always saved, and on and on and on. I think it's rock solid, and I think it's a dangerous, that's why I hit it so hard. I think it's a dangerous doctrine that's out there. And it gives people permission to be lukewarm in their faith. And so, okay. I don't know why I said that either. there's some groups that they're so hungry. I can literally feel them pulling on my spirit. Y'all are one of them. And then there's some groups that are sitting back and they're like this and they just don't know and they're not sure. And it's like I'm plowing through mud. But y'all haven't been like that at all. It's been wonderful. So Neoma came up and asked me at the break if she could share a testimony. Now, I want y'all to know that Neoma is not one of those that likes the spotlight or the microphone or being in front of people. She loves being in the shadows in the background, and she loves really well one-on-one. Like some of you probably experienced her, that love that she has in her heart. And I've told her several times, she's my daughter, whether she wants to be or not. I love her like a daughter, and just so proud of you. I'm so proud of who you are becoming. And so come on up here and obey. She said the Lord, she says, I don't want to do this, but I feel like the Lord asked me to do it. So this is her worship.
It's good. Okay. It's funny, I have this water that I always have with me, and I was like, should I bring it up, Lord? And he was like, I am living water. So I didn't bring it with me. Okay. I'm Neoma.
May I interrupt to say, this is the time you
this painting. Is my transformation over the last year and a half, but especially since coming here. And being reunited with the Father. I kind of wasn't sure where I was supposed to start with this, and I think I'm going to start with my name. My name is Neoma Dirasoma. That name was given to me by my Heavenly Father. Neoma means rebirth, new moon. Adira means strong, and Soma means body. And he's building me a new strong body. I was told, after a brain injury 2 years ago, re-diagnosed rather with connective tissue disease, and I've had a lot of struggles over the years with health. And concussions, and brain injuries, spinal cord injuries. I shouldn't be able to walk or talk or breathe or see. And I can't. That year, 2024, I had 4 concussions, 1 severe brain injury, 1 with broken tailbone, 2 with spinal cord injuries, and he is healing me. This painting, when I started it, someone asked me where I was at when I started it, and honestly, I don't remember. But I know that was the beginning of this journey. It was around the time when I started seeking and when I remembered all the things that happened when I was a little kid that I survived. Like, I died and I came back to life. I should not be alive on so many levels, but I am. And how I made it through was my connection with him. And after a certain point, and I'm not really sure when this happened, and I may know or I may not know at some point, but I just thought, surely God can't be good. he lets these things happen to me and to the people that I know and love. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And then I did it on my own. For the next 20 years. And looking back and remembering how somehow I was okay in all of the madness. And that was the only thing that was different. And so I started exploring. Earlier this week, I finished this the day I came to the farm. this week, I finished this on Sunday. It was due, the deadline came, and I was like, oh boy, I'm not ready. So I told on Sunday, on Friday, my friend was like, you know it's due, right? And you need to get it to me, and you're going to be out of town. So you got to get it to me this weekend. And I was like, oh, right, of course. So I asked him, I was like, Lord, I know I can't finish this thing. There's so much left to do. So I'm going to need you to help me out here. And he did. And I got it done at the exact time I was supposed to leave for the farm. So that was pretty cool. This whole week, there's not been a conversation that has not tied into this painting. The different pieces, so on the left is like the constellations. The middle is like fascia, connective tissue. And then roots are mycelium on the left. And this is like, I'm coming to understand that I know this painting will gain meaning. It has over this whole week. Those constellations are like the macro. The connective tissue is the right here where I am. And the mycelium is the micro. And in one of the, I don't remember where, it's been a long week. I don't remember where we were at, what was going on, but I was hearing him say that I am the great connector. And I had a GE, I don't think it was in, maybe it was in our group GE. Okay, thank you, Tammy. I don't remember. He was telling me I am the great connector, and I showed up in this GE. In this like mountain range in this field, and he asked, you know, are you standing or are you sitting? And I had been just admiring the view and feeling God's presence, and she asked that question, and I was like, whoa, and I was sitting on a lion, and he was carrying me, and he ran up the mountains, and as he was doing that, we were kind of, I mean, it was faster than you can imagine. And he was saying, I'm not bound by space and time like you. And when we got to the top of the mountain, oh, and he was like roaring the whole time we were going. And we get to the top and the sun is rising. And the light is shining over everything, and he's roaring over everything, and he says, this is the kingdom of man, but I am the king of everything. And he said that again and again. And then he said, I hold everything together. I am the great connector. And I've been talking with my dad, who's a scientist. I'm a scientist, mind and person. I would have never been saved again without a brain conference. That was his plan. I would have never. I needed the science. The science is that he holds everything together. He is the great connector. we were talking about me and my father. E equals MC squared is the energy that holds everything together. All the atoms and the molecules. He holds everything together. To the cellular, to the atomic level, and to the cosmos. And then he said, I hold you together. I have lived the last few years totally ruled by connective tissue disease. One of the things that I work on when I'm walking is I've just been praying, you know, you are making my bones and my muscles and my connective tissue. You're building strong muscles and bones and connective tissue. And at first, every time I said connective tissue, I would say connective tissue disease. I was my disease. And I don't do that anymore. It's pretty cool. my little cousin. He's 24, and he has kidney failure. And I just found out, I don't know, I was here. I got the email while I was here. The week before, my dad had told me about how he was healed when he was 2 years old and he first had kidney failure. And he was going to die, and he didn't. But he wasn't completely healed. And I'm sure he doesn't know that because the entire rest of my family are staunch atheists, science linguists. The week after I heard this story, got the email that his kidneys were failing again. And I said, okay, Lord, what's the plan? At another one of our group GEs, and we were praying, I saw this image. I guess I should say too, we're trying to have a living donor for him because they're far more successful and the timeline is much better. He's going to have to go on dialysis soon if he doesn't get this kidney. And I've always told him, if you need a kidney, my kidney is yours. I don't know what my blood type is, but we'll figure that out. And here we are. And I've been so scared because I've had so many botched medical procedures, surgeries that have just totally wrecked me in my healing. And I've been like, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to set this up. But I'm scared. I'm so scared. And so early in the week, he told me, go ahead and sign yourself up. Which I already started that process, but there's a lot of paperwork that I had to finish. So I turned that in yesterday. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe, okay. I saw, when we started praying, that it was going to be my kidney. And then that kidney, he was going to put it in him. I couldn't. I was going to give him life. But not just, you know, being alive. But that kidney is full of the great connector. And he's going to get that kidney from the great connector. And it's going to give him life. And then I saw that God grew me a new kidney. It was going to give me life. And my whole family is standing around with two new kidneys going, what on earth is going on? And there's no science that can explain that. So we'll see what happens. That's my story. I think that's all. So thanks, guys.
One great big wow. Anybody want to follow that? Wow. Neoma, would you like us to pray for your cousin together? And his name is? Bryce. And also for Neoma as well. Of course, we'd all love to see a miracle for Bryce so that Neoma doesn't. But his ways are higher than our ways, right? Okay. Well, we're not going to use a mic. So if you have a prayer, just pray it out. You don't have to pray out loud. Let's just pray for him. The Lord's not hard of hearing.
Father, I thank you for this beautiful testimony and this just the way that you are magnified, that you are glorified through Neoma's words, Father. I thank you for her love for you. I thank you, Lord, that you have instilled in her such a generosity that she realizes that her kidneys came from you, Father, freely given, and she is saying she will freely give. And Lord, we are trusting you. Yes, we are trusting you. If our vote matters to you, Lord, and I know that it does, and yet your ways are higher than ours, Father, we cast our vote for a complete and perfect healing for Christ. And yet not our will, Lord, but your will be done. Father, we trust you, Lord. We trust you that however you choose to bring about your big miracle in this family, that they will come to see that you are God, Father, that you are worthy of their praise. Father, that's the miracle right there. That's the essential miracle, Father. We love you so much.
Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Father, we just thank you for Bryce being alive, saving his life from 2 years old for such a time as this. We thank you for Neoma bringing her here, just all that you're doing in her life. We just say, be glorified, Father, in this journey.
Yes.
That you came and none should perish, and that they would know Father's love, His relationship. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this time of Christ, and the Neoma and our family. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
every time we hear, when I think of Neoma's name and I think of Neo, I think of new. And as she testifies, Father, of all the new that you've done, you're making all things new. And I pray for that blessing on her now. Just more connective tissue, more of your new life, God, poured into her. Bless her for testifying. So encouraging. We go from here and we think of her and Neo. Pray for new, just more new. We pray that that new life comes into all of her family.
Yes.
Because you made science and you made them.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray for Bryce for new life. Pray for you'll hold Neoma's hand all the way through this next procedure, if that's your will that she has it. It sounds like it, and that the suffering Rhonda was talking about, that it's just a privilege to suffer for you. Help us all to remember that and see it a new way. Remember this beautiful testimony of new. I just thank you so much for him.
Yes.
Lord, we decree and declare that you do all things well.
Yes.
You never make a mistake. You're never too late. You're never too soon. We thank you for the many miracles you've already performed in Neoma's life. And we all ask you in Yeshua's name that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in Bryce's life and also in Neoma's entire family. Would you be the God of breakthrough, break through the stronghold of that knowledge, the wrong tree that has taken root in this family. Thank you for breaking Naomi free from that and bringing her into new life. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise right now because we know that you do all things well.
Amen.
In the Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And while you were praying, I was hearing that song, the voice of truth, and that this voice of truth would go out. This is what I'm hearing. The voice of truth would go out to the whole family.
Yes.
And that do not be afraid.
Yes.
I will listen and believe the voice of truth.
Yes.
This is for your glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
It's all for him.
Beautiful. All
right. Wow. Who else would like to share and worship Yahweh and give him credit and glory? Aloha, is your hand up? All righty. You want to out microphone and we'll just and let's try to keep them short if we can, so everybody gets a chance to share.
Yes, I wanted to share the day that I came to a conference on Sunday. That Sunday, I came the day before. I went to my church, and I was worshiping the Lord, standing up and worshiping, and suddenly, I never done this before. Suddenly, I know, I'm like, oh, I had to get on my knees, and I just worship like this. Never done that in my life, okay? And I never done that in my life. I was in the back of the church, way back, and I'm, and when you said worship was, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. And Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I did that the whole service. Even when that was in the beginning of the worship session, and then he began preaching, but I was on the ground still. I got up one time, I sat down, and then, I got up again, and it's the same thing, same position. The whole entire time he was preaching, oh, man, I was, forget about worship, and worship was over, but I was worshiping, and all I could hear in my ear was, worship, worship, worship is the Lord Almighty, God Almighty. Wow. And that's what I did.
Amen.
That's good.
And Paul, remember to share your testimony.
You guys know, you might not know, I was, a crazy drunk bodybuilder, and I went into my first revival and cussed out a bunch of people and didn't remember any of it. And then I surrendered my life to the Lord in rehab, and then I had an encounter I didn't even know you could have, and felt totally in love, could hear him, feel him 3 years, and I'd see things that were, I'm like, what is that in the Bible? And he was teaching me. So I just thought this was normal. And so I go back to this church that I'd been there drunk two nights. And I walked down to the front, and I'm sitting, and I did not know that they'd all been praying for me or see me come in like that. And looking around, the music starts. Well, I don't know these songs. I'm like, and they're just kicking me. Ooh, hit my heart. And I remember he goes, step out and kneel down. I'm like, ain't nobody doing that, and it's a big church. So I did. And I did not know when he said lay down what that was. And then, that's what I did. And that's where I did every church. And I was with my friend at some, I don't know what denomination. She said, Sue, I was going to tell you not to do that here, which wouldn't work anyway. And she goes, I turn around and you were already on your knees. I'm like, yeah. But, and then I looked it up. Well, he told me to look it up, prostrating. Well, I would lay. It wouldn't matter. I would lay. And I even have one old lady say, do you have to do that every time? I said, well, he's in the room every time. He's in the room when I walk in, and he's already here, too. So, I come in like that. And if the music would start, because I love those songs, was telling me the truth about how he is, how he loves me. And, of course, I had the big shebang love. But, wow. And I've never stopped. So, not going to.
I want to thank all y'all for continuing to pray for Dana. She has been getting an amazing amount of healing. It's been surprising and very encouraging what y'all has been doing for her. I mean, she still has, daily pain and, certain symptoms and, just stuff that is very consistent. But we've had some conversations with a couple of doctors. And they looked over her whole experience over the past several years, and they said, obviously this isn't an official diagnosis, but looking at the trajectory of, your experience, it seems to be very likely that, even though this is impossible, your progressive, very aggressive MS has kind of gone backwards. And they said, we unofficially can now say it looks like intermittent MS. Yeah, and she used to name me to, whenever we went anywhere and she had to get out of the car, she used to name me to, get out the wheelchair, put the pieces together, and, just push her around. But now we rarely use the wheelchair. She, most times we go somewhere, she uses her rolling walker that has a seat on it. So if her legs suddenly feel weak, she can just, lock the brakes and sit on it. And sometimes now, there have been times, several times lately, she said, would you stay in the car? I want to go in and, like, to the library or going to get medication at, you know, somewhere or whatever. Even a couple of doctor's visits. She said, would you stay in the car? I want to go in and just take care of my business all by myself. Just because I think I can. I mean, it's just been incredibly freeing. She says it feels like world-changing freedom to just, like, I get her walker out and make sure she's steady starting out. But she walks in and does what she needs to do, and she just doesn't need help for it sometimes. It's just incredible. It's very healing for her for that, you know, emotionally. And she's been doing so much better in a lot of ways and, you know, being awake and alert a lot more than she was, less sleeping during the day. So I'm really grateful for what you've always been doing for her and just giving her a better quality of life and more time to be awake and alert and able to interact with me and Toby and, you know, just be aware of the world more. It's been incredible for her.
If you haven't noticed, our family's kind of been under attack for a few years. So,
I just came to my awareness that the word healing is kind of key to everything I'm going to say. I've been on a 25-year healing journey, and I'm not here by coincidence. I mean, there's Brian here. Was here in January, and he told his testimony, and I told Brian, I said, I need what you've got, and here I am. So yesterday, this was incredible. We drove 28 hours to get here. And of course, that always wrecks my back, but I was doing okay. And then we had our first God encounters in this little room back here on these horribly uncomfortable chairs for 3 hours. And then my back looked like this, and I was in pain, and it was not going away, and I'm going to go to Oklahoma over this weekend, and I said, I got to see a chiropractor, and so I talked to Cindy G yesterday at break, and I said, somebody said, you can give me a chiropractor's name, so she texted it to me, and then before we finished the session yesterday, Rhonda, you know, had us all stand up and, you know, stood before us as the priest of the Most High God, applying the blood of Yeshua, you know, backward and forward, all around through body, soul, spirit, and all that. And, you know, I'm just soaking this in. At some point, I just sensed something changing. Didn't really put two and two together until a couple hours later, I'm walking around, and I realize I have no back pain.
Come on.
No. And it's still, I don't even, yeah, I don't need to see a chiropractor, so that's one. And then my God encounter yesterday was one we through a number of situations, it didn't happen yesterday. It got pushed to last night. And the Holy Spirit was orchestrating this whole thing. But a couple of days ago, there was a conversation among a few of us talking about generational stuff coming down. And I could see it on my mother's line so clearly. But on my father's side, there was a blockage right after my dad. In talking about Rhonda said, if you're not connecting to God like you want to, there's something blocking you. You need to work that out. So Holy Spirit wanted to take care of that. So we're having this conversation, and then the next thing I know, the word curse comes out, and that yellow veil right past my dad, just poof, it's gone. And there's the image of my great-grandmother's face. She's half Cherokee, half white, and her face was very angry, just right in my forefront of my consciousness. And I'm just, that just bothered me. But that's the first time I ever saw past my father on his side. And then as we're going through this God encounter, I'm just praying to the Holy Spirit. It's like, what? And I said, I think you want me to go to my great-grandmother. And he said, no, go to your great-grandmother's great-grandmother. And I knew exactly what he meant. And then I started doing the math. It took me right back to the when the Cherokee people were in Georgia, They were displaced. And to make a long story somewhat short, because I can't, I would cry through this whole thing, I walked the Trail of Tears as a little five-year-old girl, and watching her father die. And the Lord came to her and said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Peony." And he said, "I want you to know how much you're loved. I'm never going to leave you, but you will not understand anything that's happening." And the Trail of Tears wrapped up in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I'm leaving a lot out, but then through the generations, there were her babies and babies and babies. And it kind of closed with her just like, "Where are you? You said you would never leave me." It's like, "Where do you go?" And then this little girl, her name was Rebecca. That was my great-great-grandmother, who I don't even know her name, but little Rebecca came and her shed a tear for her great-grandmother, and that's the way it ended. And as soon as that happened, the Holy Spirit said, I said through the Holy Spirit, he said, "I hate myself," because she had such hatred for the white man. "I hate them. I hate them. And I'm white and I'm native." So he showed me there was this deep self-loathing. And once he opened that up, I could see in my family, all my children and grandchildren. I used to look at one of my sons and I said, "Why does he hate himself so much?" I don't know where he got it. But so that was an incredible healing. And then just this morning, I look up the word peony. The word peony means healing. Yeah. And then the word Rebecca means to tie and to bind. So I'm still processing, but anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Paul, I can't help but notice that the Lord heals your back. Mm-hmm. He heals what's behind you, your past,
wow. Yeah.
And how that's connected.
Ooh.
Wow. Awesome. Now you're free to love on another level, yourself. And with the Father, yeah. And, you know, by you doing that, it will help your children and their children be able to get that freedom that they need. They still have to choose, but it sure does make a difference. Sure does help. And those two names, bind and tie together, healing for your family line. So anyway, so powerful. You can't make this stuff up, you know. You just can't make this stuff up. Anybody else? You want to worship Yahweh by sharing your God story. Not, you don't have to share your GE, but brag on what he's done and is doing for you and with you. And
I'll share one of my biggest, because of the trauma in the past and the anxiety-driven life that I led because of that. I got in early into a bad marriage, and I chose a job that I hadn't thought through. It was working with attorneys, which is a major male-dominated, factual, I was a court reporter. I was scared to death I was going to get sued all the time. Anyway, I finally had a breakdown and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I, by that time, was married to my second husband, who poor guy, right? And He, you know, and I just, well, as soon as I understood what was happening, I'm on. Oh. Got you. Thank you. Okay. All right. So anyway, I started studying what it was and doing everything that the therapist took, the drugs, which are so debilitating, but it kept me sane. And there was a time where I felt the whole, you know, I mean, when you have a manic and you're a believer, you think God is talking to you. You do. And then when you figure out it's not even close, you're going, okay, if I can't know who God is, what's the point? You know, and that's where the enemy wants you. Because I couldn't tell the difference between God and the enemy. My husband stayed with me. And all I could do was start watching Joyce Meyer. You know, I couldn't read my Bible. I was mad. You know, why did you let this happen to me? And so, but I got the word from her, right? And she just helped me set boundaries, learn to set boundaries. And, of course, my counseling. So I learned to start, you know, realizing I was limited and I had to put boundaries on what I would and wouldn't experience because I had to love me first. And I tell you what. After 7 years, I asked my husband, who was an RN and had had some experience in a mental health hospital, would you help me come off the drugs? And I had to promise, and I knew I had to submit to somebody, right? Because every bipolar tells you they're healed, right? And so he helped me come off those meds slowly. And God is good. I've learned and I'm still learning how to tell the difference between God and Satan and his many faces. And God did that.
I just want to share how during today's class, can you hear me? Okay. I was beginning to feel so overwhelmed with all the do's and don'ts and should be's and where you should and shouldn't be and just feeling so far behind where I should be in my walk with the Lord. And before I came, I was just really going through a huge battle. And feeling like I wasn't getting the support or help that I needed to figure out how to process it. Anyway, while we were going through that and learning how to connect with God in the, you know, sitting and, you know, moving back and forth and so forth, and trying to connect with God, and I'm not getting I get God encounters, but in a different way. And all my life, I've not had imaginary anything, no fantasy, everything. Mama used to say, "Teresa, go play. You're just so sober," you know, as a child, and I was. But there were a lot of kids in our family that weren't getting attention. Even though they were older than me, God has always made me sensitive to the needs of others. And so anyway, I just got up and walked out, and I was out there swinging and just trying to lay everything down, and Lord, I just need to know where I'm to be connecting with you. And I was crying. I do not cry. I mean, certain times somebody will say something and it's like, oh, and I wanted to cry. It's like, oh, it's such a release. It feels so good. And it's not self-pity. It's a release. And I was so grateful. And it's like, no, I'm going to let myself cry. And anyway, then God dealt with me in an area. I have a lot of blockages happening. I need a lot of, yeah, I need a lot. And anyway, God was dealing. He allowed me to see one of them that was really painful to look at, and it's where I failed my mom and dad. When I was in high school, rather than going and being home, I was in a different town, and, you know, attending high school, but also, you know, I became a legal secretary, and, you know, all of that was more important than being home, helping my mom and dad, and I'm the 12th, 13th, so they're old, and I didn't do it, and anyway, I got the healing within that area, and it's just the beginning, but that was a huge one, so that I can learn to like myself. I don't like myself, and love myself, and let God love me. So, thank you.
How can you not give him glory, right? He's done so much for us. He's so good. Oh,
come on. Come on.
I pulled my pants.
Share that joy.
Come on, girl.
Anyway. I remember a time when my dad used to say, if there's a place to give the Lord glory, give him glory. So I'm going to tell you a story. And this is one of my favorite stories. And it didn't happen this week, but it brought into one of my encounters yesterday. So after I was married for 30 years and my husband got to go home. He got to go home. So I was, you know, I always thought, gee, you know, you work so hard to become one. And how do you become one? So that was a journey. But it was an opportunity. This is why, no matter where we're at, God knows where we're at. And he meets us where we're at. He knows exactly. It's just, sometimes there's just no words. So I was learning. He was teaching me in Isaiah that he is my husband. So I needed to learn, what did that look like? And how do you in heaven, and then you be my husband in this earth? Had no clue. Had no clue. But I was very, like we are when we all have things going on and, you know, all that stuff. He just takes us on this journey if we're willing. And after my husband got to go to heaven, and I didn't know what I was going to do. Anyway, he sent me to a school, and I bought a business. Never done any of it. And when I I thought I could do everything, and Susan didn't have to receive nothing because she could do anything, and I could for a long time, but. Carl, does everybody know what burnout is? Ooh. Right? Oh, Lord. That was a... Ooh. Anyway, so one night I came home, and it was wintertime. I lived in Montana, and my main heat was wood, and the lights would be off, the fire would be out, and it'd be cold, and I just hated going home. I just hated it. And so I took all my stuff, went to the kitchen, dumped it all on the floor, myself included, and I had a snotball cry. And I finally came to the end, and I said, you know what? I need, what are you going to do? I wasn't being a smart aleck. But truly my heart, I was at the end, and I said, Lord, what is it? If my husband was here, he would go out, chop me wood, and he would make me a fire. What are you going to do? I really didn't know. I mean, I know that I was in a different place, you know? And I was learning about as a husband, you know, who he was and what he would do. So you know what? My goodness, I'm snotting all over on the floor, just, you know, Jesus, and you're at the end. And I'm like, yeah, but what does a new beginning look like? And all of a sudden, I hear this sound. And it's a sound of wind. And it's coming down. I'm up here, and we had a step that went down, and the sliding glass doors were over here. And it was coming from over here. But I was in the kitchen on my knees here, and it was just, but like way bigger than that. I can't make it. I can't make that sound. And I thought, oh, crap, you heard. Because I really didn't know. You know, have you ever been there when you just didn't know? And it was the wind of the Spirit. And he went to my stove and he went, pow! And my fire went, pow! And it roared. And then I went, oh. It's a Moses thing or something. You know? And I said, yeah, oh, Jesus, he heard me. And then, so I'm sitting there, I'm not snotting anymore, and I ain't crying no more, but he's got my attention. And I went up, and I went down to that fire, and it was, I couldn't even get probably this close to it. It was so hot, and it was out. And I thought, so I went back to the kitchen, went back to the floor for all different reasons. He sees me. He knows me. He loves me. And Susan, you better start relying on him, you know, give some of this up and let him come in, you know. So yesterday during our encounter, he decided, sometimes encounters are like really hard. I don't know if you guys like have really hard encounters. like, it's work to get there, you know. But you do it because we want him, right? We want all of him. And so he, I sat there and he was a little fire. I know. No, I don't burn things or I don't do that kind of a thing, but I love fire. Don't get the wrong picture. But I think it had to do because he started my fire. I really do. And so he, when he, it started something new in me. And yesterday when we started the encounter, he let me see fire because after I was here last time with you, after was done, there was a fire. There was a fire left. All that crap was gone. That black and the little whatever that was gone. And there was a fire. And it made me like, oh, so he took me there. And then he let me just start seeing the furnace and the fire. And it took me back to that story. And, well, it was real life. And it just made me think about fire, how I love the fire. And he took me to a place that I didn't know. I was traumatized in a place of I don't know what you call it, where you're in a memory. Was that it, Cindy? Or the memory, and you're stuck in that place. And I wanted out. And so I got out, but he did it with fire. And he did it in a good way because he knew I was like, let's go down. I don't want to do the dark stuff. Let's burn. You know? Let's get some, you know, that kind of a thing. But anyway, that's it.
There's a t-shirt, Rhonda. Let's burn.
Oh, yeah. I've had I've had this pack of matches on my podium for over a year because the Lord gave me a vision, probably 2 years actually, or more. He gave me a vision of, I saw the Lord standing back there. There was two angels with him, and Yeshua was standing in the middle, and he had two torches. And he said that we weren't ready yet. He said, but the day's coming when I'm going to release the fire. And those two angels were the keeper of the keepers of the flame. And he showed me. It was interesting because in the vision, the torches the angels were carrying looked like a wooden match. Like it was only big, right? And right after that, I can't remember, it was the next day or something. I was walking through the refuge here somewhere, and I noticed something on the floor. I stopped and looked, and there was a match sitting just in the middle of the floor like this, a wooden, like I'd seen in the vision. And then somebody else, a few minutes, not too long after that, came up and said, look what I just found. And it was another one. And then this box of matches appeared on my podium. I have no idea, and I've kept it here all this time. And about an hour ago, the Lord said, I want you to open that box of matches because I'm getting ready to release the fire. Oh. So I reached up. Y'all may have seen me. I reached up, and I opened the box of matches like so that this was on, open. And I just set it here and said, okay, Lord, bring your fire. You're a fire starter, whether you know it or not. And the Lord has entrusted a fire to you, and it's only going to increase and grow. And I'm going to give you a match. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know how you feel. there was a song 10 years ago or so about One Hot Mama. You all heard it? Well, when it's my birthday, and my oldest daughter, Misty, calls me and says, hey, Mom, turn the radio on in 15 minutes. You got to have the radio on. I said, why? She said, just turn it on. So I said, okay. And then Dana, did you turn your radio on? Yeah, I got my radio on. So in 15 minutes, all of a sudden, the radio announcer comes on and says, well, we got this special request from Misty and Dana in honor of their mother's birthday, this song is for you, Rhonda, and it was One Hot Mama. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I think I did both. Anyway. You two, both of you, I was a little bit ago looking at you two, and I just felt like the Lord said that you are mamas and papas in his house. You very much, both of you, have a calling to be a mother and a father in the house of God. And a real strong anointing on you for that. And the enemy's been after it to destroy you, to destroy who you are, your identities. But the Lord says, guess who wins? Oh, I just heard him. He said, you forgot one. And I'm not going to say you're one hot mama. So. Two makes a greater fire than one. Double portion. Just so bless you two as you carry his light into the darkness and where people don't know how to find the light and don't know how to even receive his light. You're going to have a real special anointing to be able to bring that, those encounters with the light to people that are clueless and that aren't able to but want to, especially people that want to but haven't been able to. Super duper anointed for that. Amen. All right, somebody else?
Ryan said, anytime you need a hug, you can come to me.
And Susan's standing right there, and it's like, okay, Susan, thank you.
Over here, Al. You are free to come up here if you're more comfortable there, but everybody does like to see you.
I have some things I feel like I need to, like, rely on words. But I want to get in the river of healing that's here. I don't know. Many of you don't know. Me, I've been here. I'm Nancy Stewart. I've come for many years, probably 4 or 5 years. And this is, I think, my 6th time here. I brought my girls twice, and all of four of my children. But going back to the healing, Rhonda has always said, "Don't seek the healing, seek Him." And 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with, I have a spot of breast cancer, but it's been there ever since my youngest was 7. She's 17 now, ever since she was born. I went to the doctors, and they said, there's a dimple there, and we're concerned about it. And I've been seeking natural healing, have never gone allopathic way. I went in, they wanted to do chemo and radiation, cut it out, and I'm like, no, I know that my God can heal, I know my body can heal, and I trust God that He's going to heal me. It's a slow-growing cancer, and it continues to grow slowly, and, you know, recently I've been concerned because I have some neurological stuff going on, and I just cried out to the Lord and just was like, it's still growing. I know that you said it's going to be healed. I am healed. And that, you know, that's been a while. And, but I still doubt. I still, you know, it's still there and growing. So one of my friends, who was actually my doula for all 4 of my children, she was diagnosed around the same time I was. And she, a couple weeks ago, went to be with the Lord. And I happened to read her daughter's post. And the one verse that stuck out to me says, "We don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, Yahweh." And so I grabbed a hold of that. And through that, I looked up that the verses are from 2 Chronicles 20. And so I read the whole chapter. And all throughout that chapter, the Lord was speaking to me. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now that's from Jeremiah. Earlier I had, that I think it was the day before, I had been given, "For I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future." And Rhonda said that verse that day. So I knew that was from the Lord. And then this one, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So when I read through Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, and said, you know, "Listen, this says, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde." And the horde, you know, this great horde feels massive to me. "For the battle is not yours, but God's. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. And then they worshiped him, because he did defeat the enemies, all the Amalekites, all those ites. He defeated them. And he said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will be saved. And then you will succeed. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then on my soap dispenser in the bathroom, it says, "Always be filled with joy." Philippians 4:4. And on top of that, I was praying, and I'm doing Jamie Winship. I don't know if any of you who know Jamie Winship, it's very similar. And so I was pouring out to the Lord about, you know, I know you've said that you're going to heal me, or that I'm being healed. I know my body can heal. You've just said all this. And so I asked him, it says, "What do you want to reveal to me about my true identity today? What do you want to announce over me?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Healed." Mm-hmm. So I want to testify that my God can heal. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it here, and I want to proclaim and believe and worship him. Mm-hmm. That he is healing me. He has healed me. I just need to
So, yeah, I'm Deborah. It's not necessarily about this week. Well, it probably is about every week of my life, but the Lord's been really honing in on surrender for the last few years, probably. Maybe 48. But I've had the privilege of, like, learning more about that in this last little leg of my season. And he just reminded me, and I just felt like he said to share it, so I just want to obey him. But I just moved here, but, like, right before I moved here, I had to go back home for 13 days, and those 13 days were beautiful but really hard. And my whole life has felt like, every time I've tried to say yes to the Lord and, like, surrender everything, it feels like out of my control, like that gets sabotaged is what it feels like. And it feels like, I know he doesn't, but it always felt like the enemy got the upper hand. And I've been coming out of agreement with that the last 2 years. And then, like, right before I came here, the day before I was supposed to close on my house, it looked like that was shifting the other way, and people were backing out, and the enemies, like, came at me and said, like, "This is going to happen again. Like, you know, like, it's not, you're not going to get to do what the Lord's asked you to do." And I said, "Lord, like, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do?" And he said, like, "Surrender and yield." And I just was on my knees, and it was really cool. And I was like, "Lord, I can't do anything about this. None of this is in my control." I think because of major fear, you know, we want to control when we're afraid. And as I was, like, prostrate before him, and he's like, it's like the whole, it feels like the battle that's been, like, against my whole life. Everybody has, like, their thing or their journey. And I was like, "Lord, it feels like that thing always wins. Like, will you show me, like, that you're going to fight this?" and that, like, show me the key. Like, what is it that you want from me right now? And I've said the word surrender a lot. You know, we say it, but until, like, he brings that grace for that to actually happen, we can't do that in and of ourselves. And it, like, something shifted. And I was able to surrender to a level that, like, I've never been able to. And, like, I just had peace, even though, like, I hadn't had like, a different, no new news. Like, you know, I just had peace. I'm like, well, I'm either here or I'm at the farm. Like, you get to decide. You know, you get to, like, do what you want to do. And was able to just, like, have peace as I, like, surrendered and yielded to him. And he's like, now I can fight, like, because you've, like, released and let go of the control and the, like, fear. And so, and he did. He moved mountains, and, like, we closed the next day. And the Lord was just, like, with me. And he's been telling me that, like, that I am Deborah. I've, like, shied away most of my life from the name Deborah up until the last few years. And I don't even like to be called Debbie anymore. But I sold my house to another Deborah, and the escrow agent was also Deborah. So the day of my closing, there were three Deborahs there. And it's just like he, you know, and I'm not trying to give, like, credit to the enemy, but, like, it is a fight still. You know, like, because I close, I get my check, and I get rear-ended on the way to the bank. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in my car. But it was fine. Like, because, like, he's faithful, and, like, he makes good of all of it. And he's just been showing me, like, over and over and over and over and over again when the old battles, like, come up. He just reminds me, hey, like, you gonna surrender again? You know, like, you gonna surrender some more? Like, and I just want to thank him because, like, without his grace, like, I can't do that at all. And so, yeah, so I just wanted to share that. Okay, you guys prayed me to the farm 20-something times, probably. Well, it's funny, though. I do have to say that my car didn't struggle in that area until I started coming to the farm. And a lot of times it would be at the state line, and all of a sudden it wouldn't be able to accelerate. It would just be like, I'm not kidding. It was like almost every time until I got some victory over that, and then it didn't happen again. And then I did get some, like, right before I moved, I got my car serviced, got everything, you know, whatever. And it hadn't done that in a while. And I'm driving here the day I'm coming to the farm. I close my house. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm just going, even if I get there late. And I'm driving, and I get an hour and a half away. I'm at Tulsa, and my cruise quits working. And I'm like, And then it starts making this strange noise, and I'm like, And I was like, Lord, do I pull off? Like, what do I do? And I just had this gut feeling, just keep going. Like, don't pull off, just keep going. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to keep going. And I kept it at, like, 60 to 80. And no, I was on the interstate. I was on the interstate. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm, like, going. And I'm like, I'm just praying. I'm trying to talk to people. I'm trying to just distract myself because in my normal, I want to pull over. And I'm like, but if I know if I'm going to pull over, I'm stuck. And I'm tired of being stuck. So I'm not going to be stuck anymore. So I just kept driving, and I was like, okay, Lord, all right, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm surrendering my car. You know, I am doing all the things. And I'm not afraid, but I'm aware. And I'm driving, and it's a six-hour drive from my house, and I'm only an hour and a half away, and it's starting to do the thing, and I just keep driving, and I keep driving, and I have to slow down at Holden, And that's like the first time I had to slow down in like a 6-hour drive, you know. I slowed down and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, and I, it wouldn't go. And I was like, okay, Lord, just one more time. Just give me one more push. Let's get to the farm, you know. And it started going again. And then a cop pulled his lights on. I thought he was pulling me over. I was like, oh, man. So I pull over and he was just going for an emergency. And I was like, but then I was like, it's not. Go. You know, I'm going 2 miles an hour. I'm still going though. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm only like 10, 15 minutes away. And I'm like, and by this time it's getting late and everybody at the farm goes to bed early. And I know this. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And I kind of texted like 2 or 3 people and I'm like, hey, pray my car makes it, please. And I thought, they're probably already in bed, you know? And I was like, Lord, if I need help, will you wake somebody up? You know, if not, just get me there. Even if it's 2 miles an hour, let's just do this. And so I'm driving and I'm like in my car and it's literally going about 2 miles an hour. And I got my hazards on, so I'm safe. You know, I'm like, okay, Lord, let's just get here. Let's just get here. And I had tried to call Cindy once and I thought, oh, she's asleep. I don't want to wake her up. And then I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, just, you know, if I need help, just help me. And Cindy called. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm going about 2 miles an hour. And I was like, let's just see if I can make it. And then it got where it wouldn't go at all. And she came and rescued me, thank the Lord. And that's a whole other comedy. We don't got time for all that. But, yeah, I was just like, here I am with 2 or 3 pieces of my luggage. And I go onto the farm, and while my car's waiting to be towed, someone decides to steal the wheels and the axles, 3 of them. Yeah. And so the sheriff's like, did you have somebody? I'm like, no. Yeah. Anyway. And I go, and I am the salvage. I was like, fine, I'm just going to sell it to the salvage, you know, whatever. And so I meet the salvage, and I'm thinking, like, they're going to, like, sell the parts, you know, like that's okay with my heart, kind of. I've had this car for like 10, 12 years. I probably need to break soul ties with it. But anyway, so I'm like, I'm calling and I'm like, Lord, like, well, Kelly takes me and I've had a lot happen in like 13 days that I didn't have a chance to emotionally process any of it because it was just a whirlwind. I'm like, Jesus, just make me like sane today. You know, that was about it. And I'm like, Kelly's taking me. And I call the guy, and I was like, hey, to meet for the salvage. And I said, hey, I forgot my keys. I need to go back and get those. He goes, you're not going to need those. We're crushing it in the morning. And I just started crying, and I was like, you're crushing, Mike. I go, please don't tell me that. And then he comes, and he writes, they had written the check to the wrong Deborah, but it's fine. But the Lord spoke to me through everything. I could write a whole book on the whole thing, but we don't have time for that. But he spoke to me, and he said, you are not taking the old into the new, and I am crushing the old. There is no more. You can't even go back to it if you want to, because it's crushed. It's crushed. And by the way, I got a nice new car. But, yeah.
When you said get hit from behind, I'm thinking he's pushing you. And listen, most people, unless they know him, won't do anything. But, you know, but you and your growth, you guys, is amazing. And to keep on going, no matter what the circumstance seems, and trust him, keep on going. When he says come up higher, you keep on going. Don't look around, keep on going, period. Yeah, and then he crushed your past. But this is the scripture. Let go of what lies behind us. Philippians 3, right? Yeah, let go and press. See, press, you got smushed, your car just got pressed. And then you press, and you press, because it takes effort, but he's got us. We're co-partners with the fire of God, the glory of God, the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead in us.
There you go. Oh my gosh. All right.
We have 5 minutes. Anybody else?
I usually don't do this, so I haven't done it in a long time. Well, what I got from this week is that he just kept giving confirmation. Like, he would put, like, a scripture in, or he'd put a word in, and it would happen with all these different people, and even with you, and then you'd repeat it, or they'd repeat it, and it just kept happening over and over again. Like, he would put scripture in, or a word, something like that, and then somebody else would say it. Mm-hmm. And just confirmation, and it was just really super beautiful to have that. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Anybody else? Okay. Hey, Christy. Just follow the lamb.
So I gave the Lord my yes 7 years ago. I would say 10 years ago, but I gave him my yes 7 years ago in January. And I just have been following him, chasing him, doing whatever he's asked me to do. And he's asked me to step into some pretty big things. And I became the director of a pregnancy center, which is a ministry, and I'm newly saved. And I've never had a leadership position in my life, right? But he was there and faithful the whole time. And, you know, the money was there. And whatever I asked for, like, he just provided it. And it was like, this is, like, the coolest thing ever. Like, he's showing me who he is, right? He asked me to run for political office when I failed government in high school. Right? Like, I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't even know, you know, it's like I didn't even start voting, and, you know, like a couple of years before that, and it's like, Lord, do you know this? And anyways, but he knew. And then, you know, my husband had, you know, battled with cancer, and I, you know, he taught me how to fight for that, like how to fight for, no, I'm going to fight for this healing, and no, I don't accept that diagnosis, right? And so we fought for it, and he's healed, and he's walking in his healing today. But then Rhonda has taught me a lot with her battle, in that it doesn't look the same for everybody else, and just because, you know, sometimes your journey is just going to look different. Yeah. But through all of it, through all of my journey, you know, I think, man, I'm just going after the Lord, you know? But it was like, honestly, he was teaching me who he was, his character, and all that, but I really had never met him. Like, I didn't know him. And I thought that just because I got saved and he captured my heart, and that I wasn't upset about the trauma. I wasn't upset about all of the things that I went through. I forgave everybody. Like, it didn't bother me. So I didn't know that I needed healing, right? And then this one gets me here. And I get to experience what it's like to live in his presence, to do things his way. I get to, not only that, but I get to meet him. They teach me how to meet him. I mean, before that, the best thing I had was journaling, right? And then I got introduced to God Encounters. So if this is your first time here on the farm and you're experiencing him like that for the first time, don't stop. Yes. Keep going. Yes. Know that it's a journey. Yes. Know that there's still stuff in there that he wants to heal, and it'll be his timing. Yes. It'll never be fast, but sometimes it'll be a suddenly, right? But to keep going and to just treasure. Treasure this place. Treasure what you've learned, because it'll change your life. And you'll want to change other people's lives too. Do that. Only, I mean, he does it, but you'll want it for other people. So just keep going. Yeah.
Wow, that was excellent.
I'm telling you. Ooh. It's so beautiful what God does, if Yahweh does up here. It's just beautiful.
He's so amazing. Beautiful.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. All right. What a great week. Yeah. We'll get to have our time together this evening, so it's not goodbye. I did want to say this about our time together. You know, some